WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rap.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art.
I like puppets.
Puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah. I knew you'd come.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Need a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBook.com as well. I'm your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We are live on WildTalkRadio.com, Twitch.tv/WTR, live, RackRadioShow.com, Gerwick.net. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RackRadioShow, at Lindsay Ward throughout the night. But come to the chat rooms and interact with us. As I'm going to put you guys to work if you want. Do some work in the chat tonight, too. Yay! Things, stuff. We got a whole lot of it.
Yep, we got a ton of it because we were talking about Survivor Series and TakeOver tonight, both which happened this weekend live on the WWE Network. And later in the show, we will have the NXT analyst and the assistant to the assistant to the assistant regional analyst joining us for NXT. But before we get there, we do have to talk about Survivor Series. We're going to jump right into that because we do have news. So it kind of ties into the way that we normally do the show. And that's brought to you, as always, by our friends over at Gerwick.net and FightBook.com. And, well, we got to talk about it. It's the biggest story of the week, probably of potentially the year, if for right now. I mean, year's almost over. Who knows? But so,
go ahead.
I'm going to set this up because I've held this in. I have not had a chance to talk about this. Except with you. So, you know, Monday Night Raw, it's the go home to Survivor Series. You have Becky Lynch jump Ronda Rousey, put her in an armbar, beat her up, and then Becky goes to the ring and she gets in a brawl with the SmackDown women behind her. We see all the women fighting. It's a great moment. It's super exciting. It's closing out Monday Night Raw. And then, oop, all of a sudden, Becky is bleeding profusely out of her face. And nobody's really sure what happens. So you go back and you watch it, and oh, hey, look, there's Nia Jax sucker-punching Becky Lynch, full on, full force. And Becky finishes out the segment, and the show goes off the air, and it's like, what just happened? So the next day, stuff starts coming out about Becky, that she's got a concussion, she's got a broken face, could be a broken orbital bone. Nobody really knows, but rumors start to trickle out that the match with Ronda is off. Now, this is one of the biggest matches on the Survivor Series card. Probably the biggest.
The
biggest match on the Survivor Series card. It's the one with the best build by far on this card, and it's potentially off, and nobody wants to believe it, right? Because it's like, no, there's no way Becky's that hurt. There's no way. And then you go back and you look at the footage again, and you're like, well, maybe.
It's not the WWE footage. There was a fan footage out there, and you saw the punch, and she just, boom.
She clocked the crap out of her. Nia clocking Becky, that is. Mm-hmm. So Tuesday afternoon, evening, whatever you want to call it, the news finally breaks. Becky Lynch has a broken nose and a concussion.
Hold on. Let's do this properly.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So Becky Lynch with a broken nose and a concussion.
Hashtag blame Brent.
There it is. It's official now. And she comes on SmackDown Tuesday night.
Hold on.
And announces.
Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
We're never going to get to this because he's going to play 15 intros before we're done. Anyway, so Becky comes on SmackDown. She has all the women behind her. The rumors are flying. She's got this huge, nasty black eye, and her nose is slightly askew. It's not as straight as it once was, and she basically stands up, rips Ronda a new a-hole, and proceeds to have to back out of the match due to injury, and everybody's heartbroken by this. We're all going, no, how could you do this? No! And of course, everybody immediately starts to blame Nia for it because Nia's the one that punched her.
Oh, my hand. And, my nose. Oh, my hand.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
Martian.
We'll get there. So Becky makes the announcement and she handpicks Charlotte to replace her. So now the match at Survivor Series is Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair, which everybody's like, eh? But we'll get there with that. So,
hand chosen. Charlotte was chosen, by the way, from the SmackDown stuff. Charlotte was chosen officially by Becky Lynch. She walked down the line with all the women. She picked Becky, or picked Charlotte, hugged her, shook her hand, told her to make her tap out. That's officially what happened on SmackDown.
Yeah, so it was a great, great segment by Becky Lynch. She calls Ronda basically the luckiest woman on the planet right now because she doesn't have to face Becky. And we'll have to see where that goes. But yeah, so it's super unfortunate that she's now out of the match. It's not determined yet whether she's going to have to drop the title or not. I think they're trying to get past Survivor Series to figure that one out.
They also probably didn't want to do a second title change of a major championship on SmackDown Live.
No, we'll get to that too. Because that's the other match that changed on Survivor Series, but this is the better story. So, yeah. It's the bigger story.
Bigger.
It's the bigger story. So Becky is officially out for an undetermined amount of time right now. Nobody knows if she needs surgery. Nobody really knows anything they have taken her off of Survivor Series.
Let's be real. You're the one who mentioned it. Her nose was not straight, so it's going to need to be.
Well, here's the big question, okay? Because normally for broken noses, they take you to the ER and they can generally set it in the ER, which is excruciatingly painful, but her nose is still not straight, which means it hasn't quite healed. They didn't have her in any kind of face mask or anything, which is leading me to believe that either it's not as bad as we all think, or it's bad enough that she's going to have surgery. And they didn't even try. They just left it the way it is, and they're just going to take her in, fix her nose in surgery, and then she'll be back in like 6 to 8 weeks with the nose. Because there was a ton of blood coming out of her face. It was like, oh my God, what happened to her?
As we talked about on Monday night, it made her look such like a badass. That
oh, she was super badass. Like, she was super badass looking on Monday Night Raw. I mean, just God. I mean, she just wiped the blood off her face, flicks it, and keeps going. And she pointed that out. That she's like, she is more badass than Ronda because she did that. Because she kept fighting. Because she basically told... Because Ronda basically, like, put this promo out Wednesday on Instagram where she ranted about Becky being out of the match. And Becky basically responded, your face got broken. You hid under a blanket for a year. My face got broken. I owned your show. Mic drop.
Okay. I'm going to say this. Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch know how to use social media.
Yes, they do.
Flat out, they know how to use social media to keep it in and out of character. They're really good at it. They're doing it correctly. No one else can hold a candle to how they're doing it so correctly. Back to you.
The person not using it correctly would be Nia Jax. I love her. Don't get me wrong. I think she's great. I think she's amazing. And this is not a reflection on her character at all. But there was a lot of discussion and finger pointing going on Tuesday into Wednesday. And even now, though it's kind of died down a little bit since the announcement, but it's basically Nia Jax. It's like, if you were her, it's like, you just kind of stay off social for a couple days, maybe a week until this all kind of sort of blows over. No.
No response would have been the best response.
Nia gets on Twitter, I think it was Wednesday, mm-hmm. and goes, you know, it's great about Becky's face, or I'm sorry about Becky's face, but has anybody asked about my hand? And she posts a picture of her hand with the tiniest little cut in between her knuckles that you've ever seen. And I think it was a little swollen, but it's like, Nia, honey, I love you, okay? I really, really love you. And I'm not saying she did it intentionally, because I honestly don't believe she did it intentionally. I feel like, you know, things happen. And that's pretty much what she said. Things happen. And I believe her when she says that. It's, you know, she didn't go, I don't think she would go in there and intentionally try to hurt somebody. She just came around, she sucker punched Becky, and it happened. But it's like, you're not doing yourself any favors here by complaining about your hand. Like, you legit just toasted one of the hottest matches, one of the hottest feuds they have going, if not the hottest program in the entire company, the hottest star in the entire company. You just iced her and put her on the shelf for an undisclosed amount of time. Nobody knows when she's going to be back from this, if she's going to have to drop the title, any of this. Like, you have completely foobarred their plans, probably till at least Royal Rumble, if not beyond. You just need to kind of sit down for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
You just need to sit down.
It's one of those things where everyone is talking, and yeah, it's not the first or second or third person she's hurt this year, this month, but everyone's talking about the silver lining in this whole thing. But we don't know this. We know it's, you know, rumors, speculated, whatever, and putting Becky in a main event of WrestleMania. But no one knows that. No one knows, oh my God, Becky Lynch is now in the main event of WrestleMania because she got her nose broke. That's not how this works. That's not how creative works.
You could, but
it's not going to
be. They're not gonna.
I mean, if it happens, it happens. But like, I read all the headlines and the columns, and it's like, here's the godsend of this is she gets to be in the main event, the hottest feud, and yada yada yada. It's like, yeah, you're in the mall. Brent, no one knows for sure. No one knows what's going on inside Vince's head because they see lightning in the bottle. But we all saw with Daniel Bryan and how they had to wedge him into a main event of WrestleMania. There's lightning in the bottle with her right now. This is not good for her.
This is a really bad time for her. She's getting taken out right when she's at her most popular and the gimmick is over like crazy and everything. Like, it's all working for her right now, and to get iced for 6 to 8 weeks minimum, and that's just a conservative estimate, is not good for her. Now, what's good for her is she can stay on social. They could have her appear on TV. She can still show up with a concussion. She just can't wrestle. So that's where it all kind of goes into question for her. So she is able to still show up, but...
And you can compare it to Steve Austin back in 1997 when he broke out and became Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he had a neck injury after Owen Hart match, and they kept him on TV. But this is different. We're in a different age. Like, you look at Alexa Bliss, like, they don't let her do anything, like, because she had a concussion. Like, that's the thing.
Becky, part of what makes Becky's character work is Becky is the I don't give an F mentality, and she's just going up against anyone and anything that kind of gets thrown in her path, and that gimmick does not work nearly as well if you're on the bench as opposed to if you can wrestle. So she's kind of got a problem there, or at least creative. I shouldn't say she. Creative actually has a problem there, because it's how do you still maintain that and keep her looking badass and keeping her looking legit while working around the injury. And I don't know if they can do that for that long, because again, we don't, the factor is what they have to do to fix her face. and how long that's going to take to heal. Nobody knows right now, except maybe her, because I'm sure she's got the medical diagnosis by now. But, you know, again, it's no one knows at this point for outside WWE how long she's going to be out. And that could be a death nail, especially heading into Rumble and Mania. I mean, they
have a break right now because it's the holidays. Like, they got to get past this event. They have TLC, which you can always...
She don't need to be at TLC.
She doesn't need to, if she's not healthy, she doesn't need to be at TLC. You can. Your goal is to Royal Rumble because you got the Christmas shows, New Year's Eve show, whatever. You're fine. She's concerned. Her next real big test has to be at the Rumble, whatever you do, whether she's fighting Ronda, whether she's fighting Carmella, Asuka, whatever it is, that's her next test.
If you wanted to do the Mania setup, say you go ahead and while Becky's out, say you go ahead and do Charlotte and Ronda, and you build Charlotte and Ronda, and you burn that for Rumble, and then you have Becky come back at Rumble, you have her win the Royal Rumble, and she looks at Ronda, and she goes, "All right, you and me, let's dance. Let's do this." They could do that. But the plan, I think, has been and is probably going to stay Charlotte versus Ronda at Mania, potentially in the main event of WrestleMania. Like, I think that is the plan right now. But that can change, but I doubt it will.
It could, and we'll know more Sunday based on how that match finishes. If Charlotte taps out clean, then we know that's not the plan. If there's some sort of interference, then we know there's a probable chance we get a rematch down the line. And that's what is key in all that.
Yep. So
it's very unfortunate.
It is extremely unfortunate. It's terrible timing. And yeah, it just sucks. It sucks all the way around. And you know, Nia feels bad about it. But you know, the tweet was just her trying to, I think, do an in-character tweet. And it's like, oh, that just backfired on you so bad, because there are so many people right now who are pissed off, legit pissed off, that match is off. Because I think there were a lot of people who were looking forward to it because it was new, it was different, it was fresh, and they were doing such a good job of building that animosity between the two. All the social media barbs back and forth, all the trash talking, everything. Like, this was so beautifully executed, and now we don't get it. And it's like, you know, son of a bean. It's like, damn it.
And now let's stay there. Survivor Series this Sunday, only on the WWE Network. The matchup is Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair. It's very easy to say that Ronda Rousey is going to win this matchup, because it's Ronda Rousey. It's no legit no build to this matchup. And that's the downside in this. We were talking Tuesday afternoon when all this was going down. You said Charlotte should be the one to replace. And I was like, no, it should be Asuka, because this match deserves more than 4 days of non-build. This matchup is a money match. And unfortunate circumstances have put these two women in a match where they could have drew a big amount of money for the first time for WrestleMania. I know drawing money doesn't matter, whatever, but they could have drawn some money and got some real attention for this match. And now it's going to be like, it's there, but to me, it feels like a throwaway.
It is a little bit of a throwaway, but I think at this point, they don't know what else to do. And Devil's Fan had said it should have been Asuka. No, it shouldn't have been Asuka. Because
yeah,
here's
the
thing.
It should have been.
No, because here's the thing. Whoever goes into this match is losing.
And how many times did Asuka lose to Carmella? I'm just saying.
But you don't want to have Asuka lose to Ronda. That's the thing.
You'd rather have Charlotte lose to Asuka? Or should Charlotte lose to Ronda?
Yeah, because Charlotte can take the loss and recover and be fine.
Asuka's in the position she is in now. Winning, a win's not going to elevate her. A loss is not going to change who she is.
But it's going to damage the reputation. You're throwing Asuka into a one-off match with Ronda Rousey where she's going to lose. And then she's going to go back to obscurity. Is that what you really want? Or is it Charlotte Flair goes into this, she does it for Becky, she tries to do it for Becky, and she fails?
But now, okay. But now you're putting another loss on Charlotte, who's lost a lot, and I mean a lot, of singles matches in the last 4 months to Becky Lynch. You're now, once again, you're going to devalue Charlotte Flair.
You can always build her back up, though.
You do the same thing for Asuka. This is a money match, and I feel like you're wasting money.
I feel like it's a money match, but they've already lost money. With Becky now off the table, they don't have the money that they would get from that match. So you have to... The thing is you have to replace this with something of as close to equal value as you can get it. Like, if you throw Ronda up against Carmella, for example, everybody's going to be like BS and nobody's going to care. They're trying to damage control this the best way they know how, which is Becky's out, put Charlotte in. Because it's like, it is a money match. They will see some money from it, but it's like, yeah, is it throwaway? Yes, because it has to be. They don't have a choice. It's like another money match. It's Asuka versus Ronda. If you build that properly, but the last thing you want to do is just throw Asuka in there randomly against Ronda. It's like, at least for this, if you are going to do Charlotte and Ronda at Mania, here's your kickoff for it right here. Is whatever happens in this match, whatever goes on, you can use that later in the build for Mania.
You could. If that, again, if that's the direction.
If that's the direction. But yeah, it's, I think they're honestly just trying to damage control it and just trying to give the fans an equal value match to replace Becky Lynch.
Now let's talk about that for a second. 6 months ago, you have to replace Becky Lynch with an equal value match? 6 months ago. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And what they've done with her, I wouldn't call it a heel turn because I think they tried a heel turn and it failed. And she's now sort of almost an anti-hero.
No. She is what they said her injury is. She's a broken face. That's what she is. She's being portrayed heelish, but everyone loves her. She's a broken face. It fits.
It fits. So yeah, it's this, what the new persona has done wonders for her. You got punny. You like that? He got punny.
So I asked this question. Who wins on Sunday?
Ronda.
Chat, this is up to you. Use the 8-ball command in chat. Does Ronda Rousey beat Charlotte Flair on Sunday? I'm going Ronda Rousey as well. So it's up to the chat to do the 8-ball. So we'll see if they can actually learn how to do the thing. I asked the question. So first response. Here he is. Better not tell you. You'd say that's a no.
The only thing I can see happening that could be interesting is Becky somehow costs Ronda that match.
Which she could.
Just because she has a concussion doesn't mean that she can't get involved in some capacity. She just can't get physical. So Becky could do something to distract Ronda. Charlotte's able to put her in the figure eight, or she's able to do something else. And she makes, I don't think she's going to tap Ronda, but she somehow figures out a way to beat Ronda. Or it's a DQ, or it's something like that, where it's a screwy finish. You could do that.
8-ball, 2 of the 3 go Charlotte winning. You could. They brought out in the chat Shayna Baszler and the Four Horsewomen. I mean, they're going to be there. We'll see. So there's that.
So the other big title change, or the other big news coming out of SmackDown, is that AJ Styles is no longer your WWE champion.
No. After a low blow. Man, poor AJ. Poor his wife.
He just really doesn't want to have any more kids, and so he's taking care of that one match at a time.
So after a low blow and a running knee and a smirky grin, Daniel Bryan is your new WWE champion. I don't remember who said this, but it was brought up to me a couple weeks ago. Hell, after the whole Crown Jewel stuff, WWE has no plans for Daniel Bryan for the rest of the year. WWE has no plans for Daniel Bryan.
Uh-huh.
He's your WWE champion.
As a heel.
As a heel. Which was his idea to turn heel, by the way. Heel turn, by the way. Him beating down AJ Styles after the match. Like, the moment Paul Heyman mentioned his name on SmackDown, I said to you, smell a title change. It's like, is Daniel Bryan going to win the WWE Championship tonight? Sure enough, he became champion. Giving us the match, everyone was like, AJ Styles, Brock, we've seen that match a year ago. People won. Like, you think of matches Daniel Bryan wanted for the longest time was Brock Lesnar. A year ago, this wasn't happening. But here we are. Sunday night, 5-day build. Again, money match. Doesn't matter. Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar. Daniel Bryan's been planning this matchup out in his head for a long time. Imagine how scary this is going to be. And Daniel Bryan's heel. Heel. Been 6 years since he's been the heel? 5 years? 6 years? Something like that?
At least that, yeah.
Coming out of the kind of, about 6 years, coming out of the Team Hell No, where he was heel. He was the heel before they sort of got together. Thank you, Dr. Shelby. Daniel Bryan's a really good heel. Like, he's really good at being a heel. And to him, doing yes, 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 probably got old. Like, it was a thing. But now he's relying on something of the past, which he got over already. So he came back, gave everyone the feel-good moment. But for creatively, Daniel Bryan can be motivated by being a heel. The man says, I want to see Brock and Lesnar. Bryan and Lesnar. I get that. I get the whole concussion, whatever. But for Daniel Bryan, this is going to be a good match. AJ Styles is not on this card. He will be involved in this finish. I promise you that.
Yeah, this is another one that's going to have a weird finish to it just because of the circumstances surrounding it. I don't think anybody really wants to see Brock versus Daniel, and that's not what they're going for here. They took AJ out for a reason, either to rest him or to do something obviously with Daniel, or they have their reasons for doing what they've done. It's not about Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is not even a factor in what's going to happen on Sunday. Will he be there? Yes. Will he beat up Daniel? Yes. Will he do his normal routine? Yes. The big question is, how is AJ going to be involved in this, and who's going to cost who what in this match? And I mean, honestly, I feel like Brian does have a size advantage in the sense that he is so little. This is where his size comes into play, because it's like, if he stays low to the ground, it's going to be kind of hard for Brock to get to him. So Daniel can kind of play that game with Brock. So it could be an interesting match. I don't know if it's going to be fantastic, but it'll be interesting. And all the circumstances surrounding it are intriguing. It's a lot more than intriguing than Styles versus Lesnar. Which was really good last year, but I don't think anybody wants to see it again. I don't think AJ wants to do it again.
No, I think he would. But Brian, like I said, Brian has this idea for a match. Just wait. It's going to be really good. In terms of winner, it would not shock me if Daniel Bryan won this matchup because of the heel turn. But chat, I ask you this. 8-ball command in chat. Will Daniel Bryan beat Brock Lesnar?
Outlook not so good. I kind of agree with it. LeMans, to address your comment about the Universal title, I would almost agree with that, except it was starting to gain credibility again with Roman Reigns. It's just really unfortunate what happened.
But here's the thing.
And I don't think Brock's going to have the title long term.
Brock's your stopgap. Brock is your stopgap. That's basically what it is.
I feel like they had no choice. And the truth is they didn't. They don't have anybody else on that roster right now that is ready to take that title from Roman. They were building Drew. They're building Seth. They're building Dean. It's way too early to put the title really on anyone else. So who's the only person that you can have come in that's credible enough to take it? Brock Lesnar. The whole Braun Strowman situation, that's a completely different thing. There are rumors flying around that he's hurt, that he's pissing people off. Whatever the reason is that they're not putting that title on him is obviously a good one.
It's in theory, yes, it's 6 months. In reality, it's the road to WrestleMania. He's the stopgap on the road to WrestleMania. That's more what it is.
Brock has a fight.
Yeah. Survivor Series and TLC, in the long scheme of things, don't matter in terms of what they're going to do with Brock with the championship, because it's Rumble till WrestleMania. That's the gap. Because there's no title defense this month, and TLC, they weren't planning on one. So there's that. Anyway.
Yeah. Brock. I mean, until we know what's going on with Strowman, he's not a factor in this at this point. So Brock's your stopgap until you find your next champion, whomever that's going to be, whether it's Strowman, whether it's Rollins, Ambrose, McIntyre, Ziggler, whomever, Bray Wyatt.
Just waiting for that. I was going to throw it out there myself, but no, you brought it up. Hey, where is he?
I don't know, but we're going to take a quick break to just say Bray Wyatt has new merch in shop. It's a little itty-bitty lantern ornament, but if everybody could please go buy it, that might be an indication that, hey, we want him back on TV. And he's also been tweeting with his old buddy, Luke Harper. They've been going back and forth on Twitter, so could we have a family reunion? We'll have to wait and see.
Luke Harper wrist surgery, by the way, which is why he was spotted in the cast. So I'm going Brock. You're going Brock?
I'm going Brock. Yeah, and I agree with that LeMans completely. They've made their own bet in this, and they've put Brock there. And yeah, if he gets beat up by Cormier, it's going to make the Universal title look like shit. I completely agree with that. I said that as much when Brock won the title. But here's the thing. Right now, they don't have any other choice, and Brock could easily drop that title before he goes into the fight with Cormier. Easily do it.
He could lose at the Rumble.
Stripped of it. He could get screwed out of it. All you have to do is put him in a multi-man match. He doesn't get pinned for it. Somebody else gets pinned. Somebody takes the title from him. Brock goes away, does the fight with Cormier, and if he's good enough for WrestleMania, he comes back 5 weeks later after the fight with Cormier, and he wrestles at WrestleMania. And that's kind of how they're going to do it, because at some point, Brock has to go into camp, right? He has to train for the fight. So he's going to go away. The title's going to go with him. The question is, is that what they want? I think they do want him to have that title when he goes into that fight, but they are taking that huge gamble of him losing. Because yeah, if he walks in and he gets beat up, or he gets KO'd in the first round or whatever, that's going to make them look really, really bad, which, don't get me wrong, I think Dana White would love that. I feel like it would make his year if that happened, but I don't know if that's what WWE wants.
All right, so 8-ball goes Daniel Bryan. So let's get into the rest of the show. So there's a bunch of other matches on the show.
Yes.
So I think I went Raw here. You went Raw here, right? The first two?
Mm-hmm.
In theory, they wanted to split this and make one the final match, whatever it is, the end-all, be-all match. So there are 6 more matches, 5 of which are Raw versus SmackDown matches. So just keep that in mind. Yes, we're playing Fortnite afterwards. We'll get to that in a bit. All right. So let's start off with the pre-show match. SmackDown wins. It's Team Raw versus Team SmackDown tag team. You have Bobby Roode and Chad Gable for this is Team Raw. Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, the Revival, the B Team, the Lucha House Party, and the Ascension versus Team SmackDown. Usos, New Day, Sandy, Colognes, and the Club.
Gee, I wonder who has all the good tag teams. I wonder who's winning this match. Could it be SmackDown?
Could be SmackDown. I think it's going to be
maybe.
SmackDown.
Maybe.
I think it's going to be SmackDown.
Pretty sure it's going to be SmackDown.
I think they put Lucha House Party on Monday Night Raw, so they had a tag team.
Well, you know, they do have another tag team. He's whoring around Florida somewhere. They could go get him and, you know, Strowman and put them together, and they could have a quasi-family, and, you know, they could just, like, beat people up and take over the world, and it would be awesome. But no, they can't find him and bring him back to TV.
All right, so SmackDown, to me, it's 2-1. I'm wrong. Tag teams, traditional tag teams. Authors of Pain, AOP, versus the Bar. Who you got? Chat, by the way, let me go back around. Will Team SmackDown beat Team Raw tag teams using the 8-ball command? AOP versus the Bar, Lindsay.
I feel like it's gotta be AOP. I really, really, really believe that, and here's why. You just put the titles on them not that long ago. You've just reestablished them as a credible threat in the tag team division. They need to win, and they need to beat the Bar to do it. Because here's the thing. When they won the tag titles, they beat up Seth Rollins. Dean Ambrose was not involved in that fight, so the win is not necessarily credible. You need to have them take out 2 people to sort of start to rebuild that reputation. They also have our lovely, lovely friend Drake, who's there with them, who can help them.
He's such a rock star.
He is such a rock star. That cute little spud. Anyway, so...
Puns.
I feel like it's gotta be AOP.
Chat, will the AOP beat the Bar? Use the 8-ball command. I'm going the Bar. Going the Bar.
You going the Bar?
Mm-hmm. 8-ball went with Team SmackDown. Will the Bar, AOP. Will AOP beat the Bar? 8-ball command in the chat. Moving on to that one, Cruiserweight Championship has nothing to do with Raw or SmackDown. It's Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Ali. Who you got?
Who's champion?
Buddy Murphy.
Is it for the title?
Yes.
I kind of really do want Mustafa to win it.
AOP is going over the Bar from the 8-ball. Buddy Murphy's going to win. Will Buddy Murphy beat Mustafa Ali, chat? 8-ball command. They just put the belt on Buddy. Like, he's had a Super Showdown. Also a month and a half.
Okay, I can argue that point.
Go ahead.
Because there was somebody else, and we're going to keep mentioning his name till he comes back to TV. There's somebody else who only had the belt for about a month to 6 weeks before he lost it at WrestleMania to Randy Orton, despite using magic. Talk about Bray Wyatt. And he had an ineffective first reign. So don't be telling me that, like, you know, he just won.
Let me get this straight. You're comparing the WWE Championship match at WrestleMania to the Cruiserweight Championship at Survivor Series.
Yes.
Chat, see what she just did there? WWE Championship match, WrestleMania, Cruiserweight Championship on Survivor Series.
Because my boy got screwed, that's why.
I think Buddy Murphy, Mustafa Ali wins on Sunday, quote, in April. I'm going Buddy Murphy, you're going Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, by the way, you're listening to the Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by GirlWork.net. And MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, fightbooth.com.
By the way, if you have a question about Fortnite, go ahead and ask it now. We'll answer it because we're not necessarily going to be paying attention later because we'll be playing the game. So if you have questions regarding Fortnite, please ask now. Thank you. Anyway, what's next?
Team Raw women versus the Team SmackDown women.
Wait, I have to answer that.
Wait. Brent.
No. He usually takes. He doesn't give. He's very much a taker. He's not a giver.
Team Raw women versus Team SmackDown women. Mickie James.
Pretty sure when he took from that one, that was the happiest night of his life.
Mickie James, Nia Jax, Tamina, Natalya, Ruby Riott versus Carmella, Naomi, Sonya, Asuka, and TBD. Chad.
He only wears his slut pants on very formal occasions.
Brent, you see what you're doing. Chad.
God help us if he ever hears this show and he hears about how I talk about him.
Does Team Raw beat Team SmackDown? Thank you, Matt. One person's paying attention. Thank you, Matt. Nia's going to be counted out. Tamina's going to take a pinfall. Because whatever. Mickie James is going to take a pinfall. Natalya's going to probably get disqualified. If you really want to make a star, Ruby Riott wins this matchup. But Team SmackDown's going to win. I bet the TBD is Nikki Cross.
Yeah. I would say that's a fair assessment. I will again compliment Raw for sticking to the aesthetic of studs, leather, and tattoos. Very, very impressed that Alexa, you know, lined all that up and coordinated that all up. Very nice. But yeah, SmackDown's got to take this one. Since Raw's getting the two big title matches, SmackDown's got to take this one.
A-Ball went with Monday Night Raw. Who are you talking? What? Oh, Brent. Brent, remember the time difference. He's at home, actually, now.
Brent, you're on the show later, so you know it's probably not a good idea to run it off the rails, because then you have to get on the phone with us, and you have to put up with us. And we're playing a game later where we can shoot you off a cliff. Just think about that really, really hard, okay?
It is Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
You know, I really enjoyed Shinsuke's promo on SmackDown where he's like, Seth should be paying attention to me, not Dean, but all he's worried about is Dean, so I'm going to kick his face in.
Pretty much. 8-Ball Command in chat, Seth Rollins beats Shinsuke Nakamura? Because I'm saying Shinsuke's going to win this one.
I feel like, yeah, Shinsuke's going to win. The distraction from Dean earlier this week and potentially at Survivor Series will be enough that Seth loses.
Yeah, Dean's going to get involved in this one. You can pretty much bank on it.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of shenanigans on this show.
We say that tonight, and then watch, there'll be none of it on Sunday.
Probably.
I'm just pointing that one out. And then the last matchup to talk about, 8-Ball went with Seth Rollins, by the way. Team Raw men versus Team SmackDown men. It's Ziggler, McIntyre, Strowman, Baylor, and Lashley. My man, Bobby Lashley. Taking on Team SmackDown's Miz, Shane McMahon, Rey Mysterio, Jeff Hardy, and Samoa Joe. I think I tied it up, so this would mean they made a big deal about Raw winning the last 2 years overall. Boy, could SmackDown use that bump.
I feel like because Shane is in this match and they did what they did at Crown Jewel, that SmackDown is going to take this one. And it would not be the least bit surprising if Shane McMahon is not the sole survivor somehow. Because again, Shane McMahon is the commissioner, so he can pretty much do whatever the hell he wants and get away with it. And that's the advantage that they have. Now, he and Stephanie can get into it. And she can disqualify him, but I feel like with Shane in this match, it's SmackDown's match to win at this point. But they'll probably lose.
It would be funny if Shane McMahon was the best in the world and sole survivor. One thing I can probably tell you, Randy Orton is taking Rey Mysterio's spot. The focus and everything is on Drew McIntyre. He's the guy. He's the man. He's going to be the heir apparent to Roman Reigns in the next Universal Champ. A big win, a big soul surviving win, or most eliminations, would do wonders for Drew McIntyre's ego.
And his pocketbook.
And his pocket. I can see that happening. But then I can also see this. We can go way back. Let's go back in the way back machine, shall we?
Oh no.
Back to the year of 1994, when one Big Daddy Cool Diesel dominating the team. His opponents just jackknife. Over and over again. And then there was this young cocky upstart named Shawn Michaels who said, Big D, let me in this match. Let me in. So he gets, after Diesel did all the work, hashtag all the work, and he comes in, he tells Diesel, hold him up, goes for the super kick, hits the big man, and the big man is pissed. And then chases Shawn out of the building, getting his team essentially counted out. His entire team was dominating and gets counted out, giving the good guys the win. Who does Dolph Ziggler want to be when he grows up? Shawn Michaels.
Well, I feel like he's now transitioning from Shawn Michaels to American Badass Taker a little bit.
But he's still Shawn Michaels.
And no, he still wants to be Shawn Michaels.
Still wants to be Shawn.
Unfortunately, the job of Shawn Michaels is still currently filled by Shawn Michaels.
But then there's Drew McIntyre, the breakout, the big guy, the breakout star, who they thought Diesel was going to be. I could see a scenario where Ziggler accidentally cost McIntyre the match.
That's possible.
And you do the McIntyre-Ziggler match at TLC. The breakup. I could see it.
Potentially.
That said, I'm going Team Raw.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going SmackDown. I feel like this is, again, with Shane involved, unless Shane gets taken out during the show, or basically Stephanie's like, you can't be involved in this match, you have to pick somebody else, then yeah, I feel like this is SmackDown's match to win.
It is. It really is. So 8-Ball goes with Monday Night Raw, and that's sort of Survivor Series. Make sure you go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. You can do the pick 'em command in chat. Y'all know how these commands work. Pick 'em. Tell you how to do it. facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. twitter.com/RackRadioShow. And all that fun stuff. So, did you read Skype?
Yes, I'm checking now.
Okay.
So. No, I do not.
So, when we come back...
So when we come back, you've seen them in the chat. Now prepare for the witty banter of TJ Omega and the intern, Kane Kittens, as we get ready to talk about NXT TakeOver. So you'll see me in the rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. Hey y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means... Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're gonna put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/rackradioshow.
Go for Barney.
Hey, man, it's Marshall. Check your email. Sent you something.
What is it?
A decade plus one.
What does this mean? Marshall?
12/1/2018.
No. No!
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana of the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio Show on the Wildcat Network.
Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio, the Wildcat Radio Network.
Wild Talk.
Mother.
I don't know. I think we should keep it. I think it's funny.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to Rack Radio on Wild Talk Radio.
Perfect.
Wait, I'll do Rack Radio Show. Sorry. All right, okay. One more time. Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio. Take four. I'm going to take four masks.
No, I don't feel so bad.
There you go. Where are we going? That's good. Nice. That's fine.
I read a fun fact about the brain and how it starts to deteriorate when we get to 27 or thereabouts. Yeah. It got me thinking about my head and what I can do to help stimulate it. It makes me sad, but I've forgotten what I'm on about.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to reference over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You missed the Survivor Series predictions, but you're just in time for NXT TakeOver. This is normally where we would do Tweet of the Week, but unfortunately, work has been very busy for me this week, and I have not had a chance to peruse Twitter, so we are sadly skipping it, but don't worry, it will make its return on Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble, which is next week for your listening pleasure. But we aren't alone.
The NXT analyst, TJ Omega.
Becky Lynch is a broken face, really.
Oh, you were here for that?
Yeah, caught that.
Am I wrong?
Had to leave to vomit, but I came back.
Am I wrong?
Broken heel, I would say.
Broken face.
Jesus.
Ugh. Hailing from the southwest corner of the prison, the human meat shield, who may die before this intro is up. The assistant to the assistant NXT analyst. He's dead now. He was and will forever be the intern Kane Kitten.
They took away my safety net. I'm screwed.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Well, we get to break out the Wile E. Coyote noises again.
Well, if you guys need content.
We always need content. And you taking fall damage is always good content.
Well, I'm glad I can entertain.
And, you know, us causing said fall damage is even better content.
Oh, oh God, you guys are going to be Lupo and I'm going to be Ninja. Oh, this is going to be horrible.
No, you're going to be Tim, dude. You're not going to be the Ninja. Anyway, that's not why we're here. 4 Day with Friends coming up after the NXT TakeOver preview. Ding! We are here, boys and girls, children of all ages, to talk about NXT TakeOver War Games, which airs this Saturday night live on the WWE Network. We have a small offering this time. We only have 4 matches?
Yeah, it's only 4 mm-hmm. matches.
Yep. Quality over quantity.
Yep, exactly. Time over quantity, too. So,
4 matches, but it's going to still take the 3 hours it normally does.
But that's good, because that means we're going to get some really good long matches. They're taking their time with this, and, well, I don't know where to start, because these are all really good matches, so...
I do. I
know. I'm just going to start with War Games.
No, save that till the end.
I want to talk about Alistair and Johnny at the end.
No, let's start with Alistair and Johnny now.
Why?
Because that's how the sheet's written.
Fuck that, we're doing Shane and Kari first.
Mom, Dad, stop fighting!
It's my show, damn it!
She just turned this segment around.
Lindsay just turned heel!
Something like that.
Is that why my crotch hurts now?
Yes, that is exactly why your crotch hurts now.
Low blow to Mega.
Anyway, NXT Women's Championship, 2 out of 3 falls. Shayna Baszler versus Kari Sane.
Chat. Shayna Baszler beat Kari Sane. Use the A-ball command in chat. Go ahead.
Do you feel better?
I'm getting them interactive. Keep going.
Are we all in agreement that Shayna's girls are going to get involved in this?
Yeah. That's a pretty bygone conclusion.
I mean, I'm just throwing it out there for everybody. Okay, all right. Omega, you go first. What do you think about this match?
On paper, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I really like their match at Evolution. We've got plenty of options for shenanigans with the rest of the horsewomen there, who I'm sure are going to be at least there for one fall immediately be ejected.
I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Brent?
What makes you guys think that they will introduce the horsewomen into the match? I mean, it's not like they were just introduced, right? Oh, wait.
Wait.
Damn it. No, there's going to be shenanigans in this match. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the falls is Shayna getting disqualified for doing, like, the arm stomp or something along those lines.
Holding the submission on too long.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that where it's like, yeah, she'll pick up a submission win for one of the falls, hang on to it too long, get the second, and then, yeah, just keep working her over.
Okay, Rock.
Is it a conclusion? Like, at Evolution, Shayna walking out, that kind of was the right story, especially with the girls involved. But is Shayna the long-term answers champion?
Yes, because I need the goddamn fantasy points.
Well, Sunday's this weekend's the last week, so it doesn't, you know.
Thank God!
The fight for number 2. Because, you know, Omega needed more points. So he got Daniel Bryan to win the championship.
Oh, Jesus. I forgot he drafted him.
Can't stop the juggernaut.
Plan B worked.
I mean, he had Roman and whatever happened, and now Daniel
Bryan. Only took him, what?
17
How many
years.
Tries to finally get Plan B to fully kick in action have a nail biter?
To not have a nail biter. Different story.
Okay, Plan B got me a win. Okay.
Option C got him this.
Prepare. Look, just don't ruin my coronation as the first two-time winner.
Oh my God, he's going to be in
top fantasy.
I would, I know there's no conceivable way that Omega can lose enough points to do that, but I would love to see it happen where he goes in confident and someone just sneaks in at the end.
There was one way he would have lost. There was one way. But then Brock showed back up and beat Braun Strowman.
That pretty much ended everything.
That ended my chance of catching up. Anyway, back to NXT. Does Kari Sane win this belt back?
Shayna keeps it for right now.
No. Shayna's going to keep it a while. She's got her faction going now. You're not going to have them lose this fast.
Because, is Shayna destined just to stay in NXT? Or is, like, till WrestleMania. Or is she now primed? Spots are opening. Do you throw Shayna Baszler up there now?
Not yet.
No, not yet. She needs to be there. Yeah, she still needs a little bit of work, and she needs to be there to lead her two girls now that they've gotten the call up to NXT.
Well, the Magic 8-Ball is going Shayna Baszler. Brent, you're going?
I'm going to go with Shayna for now. They'll bring her up a little early for entrant into Rumble, and then she'll be full-time after Mania. But I think this is going to be one of those things where Shayna will have her girls, and so Kairi will need to get a group together to battle, you know, to kind of even the odds. And that's where you can get Io into the mat or into the mix as well.
You can get Tegan. No, wait.
Rock. Wait. Rock. Do not go there. That's still a sore point.
No, Rock. That theory doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Oh.
That's. I'm leaving. You guys suck.
Get back here. You get back in this show right now.
Just stay in that corner.
With your cookies.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say we're all going Shayna.
Yeah, mm-hmm. including the Magic 8-Ball, yeah.
Because, again, Mama needs the fantasy points. Because one of the idiots that I drafted has to do something!
Let's talk about her team for a second. She has the Deleters of Worlds.
Oh, no.
Sanity.
They finally show back up.
They're in Survivor Series. They made the show.
They just showed up last week. They've been off TV since I drafted them.
She added the B team, and then since when she added the B team, cost them their entire spot. She brought them on the team. She's like, they're tag team champions. First loss, lost the titles, and then disappeared from television. I mean, she was the death knell for the B team.
I have no team. I have one person on my team, and that is,
let's just say,
Shayna Baszler.
Next season
sounds like the Eagles right now.
Sounds like the Cowboys right now.
sounds like the Falcons right now.
Who? Falcons and Cowboys this Sunday.
Oh, God.
I would like to congratulate you on your victory ahead of time, because we lost to Cleveland last week, so there's no way on God's green earth we're ever going to be able to beat the Cowboys. So I congratulate you, sir, on
your victory. Lindsay, I would say okay, but it is the Cowboys we're talking about.
Also, she had John Cena.
He showed up one time I needed him to.
Once.
That's all I wanted him to do, was the one time.
And because they went to Saudi, you could have got us. Anyway, moving on to the next match.
Yeah.
Aleister Black, Johnny Gargano? Can we go there now?
We can go there now.
So Johnny turns heel. I don't know how I feel about this.
I am on board for this.
I don't know.
Dark Johnny's kind of fun.
Yeah, but
But he's, the thing is he's not heel in like the classic sense of being heel. Again, he's kind of in that tweener territory where he's not quite full on Tommaso yet, but he's starting to go there. But that old Johnny that we know and love is still there. But it's like he's been so driven to get Tommaso that he's willing to do anything he needs to do to get to him, including take out Aleister Black. Clearly, and he's not apologetic for it at all. And that's where it's like the reasoning kind of sort of diverts, is because it's, yeah, I took you out. What are you going to do about it? You were in my way.
It was wrong place, wrong time. Sorry about your damn luck.
Pretty much. It's like you got in the way. You had a choice. You could have stayed out of this and just let me have Tommaso, but oh no, you had to stick your nose in this business, and hey, guess what? I had to take you out. I'm not sorry about that.
Where's your head, Omega?
Besides imagining how good this match is going to be?
Yes.
Okay. I do like the heel turn, also known as I called it. It makes sense. Like, Johnny's been faced for a while, based solely on Ciampa being so freaking evil. And we saw where he was going to darker and darker places each match, where he was kind of pushing the limits. Like, this is the point where, like, on my Dungeons and Dragons sheet, I'm changing his alignment. He's not good anymore. I'm moving him to neutral. And I gotta move him to evil because he just keeps going farther and farther. We saw him go mad over his rage and hatred for Ciampa. You know, and it's gotten to the point where that's kind of corrupted his attitude. It's a good, like, I think it's a good heel turn just based on all the character work he has been doing. To me, it feels right. It's like the storyline they tried every time with, like, John Cena. It's like, will John Cena be willing to go to that dark place? It's like, no. But, our boy in NXT did. He's still in the dark place. So I like the build. I like the heel turn. This is going to be so good.
And when it comes right down to it, Chad asked this, or made this point. This could be the end of Aleister in NXT? Could this be his call-up? They need a body. They need bodies.
I just have a feeling if they move him up now, he's...
I feel like he'd get lost in the mix.
Yeah, I would say right now, Vince wouldn't know what the hell to do with him on the main roster. In NXT, you can still use him. He still has the mystique there with him. I have a feeling if you move him up, he's going to become like a Shinsuke. And it's just like, we don't know what the hell we're going to do now. Or even Andrade. They move him up, and I mean, he has great matches, but he's stuck in... like lower mid card hell.
So who gets the win? Omega.
I think it has to be Gargano. Like, I really want to cement him in this heel role if that's the way they're going with him. And all of his high profile matches, he's come up the losing end. He needs a good win here.
Brent.
God damn it, Rock.
That's bad for you.
No, honestly, I think with this, Johnny will win. He'll do something a little darker to keep the thing going to pull off the victory. Whereas in times past, you know, he may have pulled up before trying to do, I don't know, like a punt or something. I could see him doing that here. I really like the kind of slow turn they've done with him. I mean, aside from the super kick out of nowhere, I think the promo where he ended up at the scene of the crime was just beautifully done. And yeah, I just think for this match, it'll be Alistair will just be angry going after him. Johnny will do something a little underhanded to keep this going, but realize that sometimes it does take that to get the win.
Lindsay?
I almost feel like this needs to be Johnny. I mean, I love Alistair. This is his first real match back, and technically he should win. But we're talking about call-ups here, and it's like, could it be Johnny's? Could it be Alistair's? Could it be Tommaso's? Like, you don't really need to do any more work with Tommaso Ciampa. Once he gets past Dream, I don't quite know who else could really take that title from him, but could it be that Tommaso Ciampa is on his way out and they need to cement that next top heel, and so they're doing that with Johnny Gargano? But go ahead.
No one said anything. No.
Okay. I feel like this, Johnny needs this. Johnny needs to win as a heel to prove that he's really willing to go as far as we all think he is to get what he wants. And just show that the Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling is in fact gone. And what we have is what's here right now. And if the storytelling and the way that the promos have been done and everything leading up to this moment, this match is done half as well as that, we've got something. If it's done as well as this, holy crap, y'all. This is going to be beautiful.
Magic 8-Ball is going Aleister Black. And I'm agreeing with the Magic 8-Ball. Aleister's going to get the win because while Johnny would need the win, I think for this character to really get pushed, another loss will keep pushing him farther and farther to that dark corner. So there you go. Next match.
Up next, we have, speaking of Tommaso Ciampa, we have your NXT champion, Tommaso Ciampa, taking on the Velveteen Dream for the NXT championship.
I'm going to flat out say it. It's too early for Dream getting a title shot. It feels like this is the wrong place.
This feels like they literally didn't have, and this is not meant to slight Dream at all, but it feels like they didn't have anybody else. Or everybody else was busy, and so we're like, oh crap, we need someone. Dream, you're here. Let's go. You're in the title match. That's almost what it feels like. It just feels a little rushed, and I would love to see something more build between these two.
I mean, go ahead. In a way, it feels rushed as far as this being a feud, but Velveteen has been so high on our list of NXT talent lately. It feels like he's been noteworthy for months now without getting any real recognition or title opportunity for it. And if he's hot with the crowd right now, then you put him in a big match. Like, it feels like just a placeholder for Ciampa more than anything. Like, you just got done with Johnny. It's your first big match, since that feud. We need to give you something to do. This guy's really over right now, and he performs at a really high level, but there's no way he's winning the belt. Rock's absolutely right. It's just way too soon. But I don't see, like, this is a filler or this is like a last minute thing. This feels like a striking while the iron's hot thing. And it's advantageous because they're kind of rebuilding what the next phase of Ciampa's storyline is going to be. But I don't know. Like, I feel like it's the right time. At least to give him the first shot.
Right.
Yeah, I think this is about a takeover too early for him to win a title. The title shot, sure, this could be the right opportunity, but winning, no. It's still, I think he need he'll put out a great effort, and I think he'll get close. But honestly, I think the next takeover needs to be the one where he can win a title, either the North American or the big prize or something. He's just on the cusp. He's not quite championship material yet. But by all means, reward the work he has done so far, because for what, the past three takeovers, we've just been mentioning, dear God, he's this good. Oh, yeah, and he's only 23.
Yeah, like, that's become the memes. Like, oh my God, like, he's only 23. He's this good at his character. He's only 23. I'm sick of saying it.
But he keeps doing things to make you say it.
Like, I need it to be his birthday just so I can change it up.
Can you believe this guy's only 24 years old?
Exactly.
We keep saying that about Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, too. Anyway, I agree with that. I feel like he does need to be rewarded. I don't feel like it's the proper reward for him to, like, put him in the NXT title match and have him lose. You know, it's like, I get it. He does deserve the shot, but I feel like it should be, like, a more fair shot than what he's getting. Because I feel like it's a given Tommaso's going to win, but maybe not. And it's like you said, it's a placeholder for Tommaso. Could, until, I guess, either Ricochet or Adam Cole are ready to take the title from Tommaso, is he going to keep it, or could they put it on somebody else for the time being and send it up because they need someone?
I don't see Tommaso going up, but he's sticking around to WrestleMania weekend. And then you move this class up, as it were. Looking down the line, you got guys. You got Matt Riddle, Keith Lee. You have that next group who is going to sort of take over the spotlight heading into WrestleMania stuff and post-WrestleMania. So, like, we're seeing this class of NXT on its way out. I can see Dream on Monday Night Raw this coming Monday. Like, I can see that. I can see them going hot star. Like, the potential is there for Dream to be pushed. I don't see him getting the belt. I see Tommaso keeping the belt. And I think he drops to the, like, a Riddle or something WrestleMania time. I think Tommaso's champion in... Till then. What's your prediction, Omega?
I don't see him going that long with the belt. The NXT title doesn't generally stick with someone that long.
Ask Neville.
Like, women's championship, yes. Men's championship, because they don't have as many opportunities to change it over, because they only do it at takeovers, and we only get four, maybe five of them a year. I can see him holding on to it for a while. I mean, your only real opportunity, I guess, before WrestleMania would be Royal Rumble. I could see that. I don't know. Like, it would have to be, like, a Ricochet. It would have to be an Adam. Maybe not Adam Cole, but, like, I could see a Ricochet taking that belt off of him before Mania.
EC3?
No, I think Trouble is going to either Raw or SmackDown really soon.
Yeah, like, EC3 just feels like NXT is just there to give him something to do, because he's already been everywhere. There's really nothing NXT is going to be doing for him. He's already been in the WWE system, so he knows the style. So
you're going Ciampa?
Yeah, Ciampa keeps it.
Brent?
Tommaso.
Lindsay?
Tommaso.
8-Ball goes Dream. I'm going Tommaso. Main event time.
Last, but certainly not least, the War Games match featuring Undisputed Era versus the War Raiders, Ricochet, and Pete Dunne.
The more traditional War Games, except this is two teams rather than three teams like last year. This should be a lot of fun. Like, last year's War Games was really good.
This one's gonna be good.
I feel like you've got the right people in there.
Undisputed Era was really good last year.
Half of them were already in it.
Yeah. Undisputed Era, they were really good last year. This year, you don't have the AOP. You know, the War Raiders are going to do something stupid. You have Peter and Ricochet. Oh, God. Ricochet is going to jump off the top of the cage and do something stupid.
No, I see something else happening in this match.
What?
So, you remember last year you had two really big guys and kind of how they used Roderick as a lawn dart?
Oh, no.
Oh, Jesus.
I see Hanson and Rowe using Ricochet as a projectile against Undisputed Era at some point.
Like, well, they already did. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can just see them stand, because, you know, it's the two-ring setup, of course. They're going to be just right by the ropes. Ricochet is going to go off, and they're just going to elevate the shit out of him.
Well, I feel like they already lawn-darted Cole on the show, so, I mean, it's entirely possible. Nothing like a good old truck to the face to wake you up in the morning.
Yeah, but I love the different styles you have on the one team, with the two huge hitters with the War Raiders. Ricochet, who's going to be the Jeff Hardy, Shane McMahon you know, jump off of something and make it look spectacular. And then you've got Pete that's just going to beat the ever-living hell out of someone. It's just going to be great to watch.
So here's a question about Pete Dunne. I know he's the figurehead of NXT UK.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't need to do much more work on him. So how much Theralette, and they do need bodies. So again, it's theoretically, how long is Pete going to stay down in developmental before he potentially comes to the main roster? If he wants to come to the main roster.
He won't be on the main roster for another year, at least, because they have to get that brand off the ground.
Yeah.
And he's so young, and it, like, him being the big, okay, as good as Pete Dunne is, let's think about this. He's small.
But he's mean.
He's small.
He's mean.
It doesn't, he's small. It doesn't matter.
The longer he stays with Hunter, the better he is.
Yeah. Oh, like, as soon as you let, like, remember, Vince McMahon's office has one of those clowns you see at the carnival that says you must be this high to get pushed.
He, as good as Pete is, it's a size thing. And perception is reality. We see it all the time. If Vince gets a hold of him, he's Hideo Itami on 205 Live.
I was going to say, him and Gargano, if they left right now, if they, like, after this weekend, if they got called up, it would be now appearing on 205 Live against Mike Kanellis, Gargano, or Pete Dunne.
Can Hunter just take over?
He will at some point.
Now?
That's what we all want, Lindsay, but Vince is still there.
So, when it comes down to it, I believe the Undisputed Era won last year?
Yes.
Do they repeat?
They have advantage, which typically that would make me think that they aren't going to win. Same time, they are facing such a hodgepodge team. Like, it doesn't make sense to me that a unified group like Undisputed Era lose to a tag team and two guys randomly thrown in.
If this was a traditional tag match, that's one thing. It's not traditional. It's an all-out war. It's two rings. You can do whatever the hell you want. It's
Here's my question. Who from the hodgepodge team would eat the pin or submit? I mean, unless you go the Brian Pillman route of,
I mean, if it's gonna be that route, it's gonna be one of the War Raiders, because I don't think they want to hurt Dunn or Ricochet.
No, with Bade out, they don't want to hurt Dunn.
And they've already pinned the War Raider on TV this past week. So you would think Ricochet is the guy. The scenario for the Undisputed Era winning would be Cole pinning Ricochet so he gets another shot. To end it all, Ricochet can pin Cole and there's no doubt about it. I'm going with the babyfaces to win this one. 8-Ball is going babyfaces. Omega's going
God, that's actually a really hard call.
Jack, get the coin ready for him.
Don't need the coin.
Coin. Command coin in the chat, just for curiosity's sakes. Heads would be the baby faces. Anyway, where's your mind going?
Purely out of, like, traditional booking logic, I'm going with the baby faces, since they don't have the advantage since the Undisputed Era won last time. I don't think they're going to want to make, like, War Games all about the Undisputed Era.
Be cool if they did. The coin went opposite.
It's our signature match. We've only done two in WWE, and we won them all.
Yeah. The coin went with tail, so it went heel. Brent, where's your pick going?
I see the faces winning one of two ways, depending on how they want to do this. Because I'm trying to think who can eat the pinfall here. And for me, as much as I would want points for this, I see Undisputed Era taking the loss in this, either one by Bobby Fish being stuck in some kind of submission based off of his knee, because that's what he's coming back off of injury from, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I could see the War Raiders or Pete Dunne putting him in something where he has to tap out, and therefore it's not, you know, a bad loss for Undisputed Era that way. It's he had to. Or two, I could see Roderick taking a pin or submission and starting to sow something there between the original three and him.
All right, Lindsay, where's your head leaning?
I'm kind of with Brent in terms of potentially some dissension in Undisputed Era a little bit, because Bobby Fish is back, right?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of threw Roddy in there because Bobby Fish was hurt. So it was like, okay, all right, let's see how we can, you know, make this work. And they did. They made it work. They did the thing, and it was fine, and everybody was happy with it. And they've been together for a long, long time, which there's nothing wrong with that. Nobody's saying that there is. But, I mean, it's just, yeah, I can just almost see maybe it's time that you break up the band, as it were, because another one could be, Roddy doesn't need to be down there. Undisputed Air doesn't need to be down there. It's like, here's the question, who's going up?
If they go up, put them together.
Yeah, put them together. But I mean, I really actually kind of like the idea of tensions building, either, you know, in terms of Undisputed Era, where they're like, yeah, no, we've kind of had our run, we're done, whatever. Or, you know, they're just like, well, let's see what else we can do kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, it's really, really hard to call at this point what they're actually going to do. But I like the idea of dissension. I don't know why. Maybe because it's just interesting to me. Mm. But I like the idea of dissension.
So you're going baby faces.
I'm going baby faces because, again, Mama needs the points because I have beat done.
So that'll do it for our NXT TakeOver preview, which means Saturday you'll be live right afterwards to review it all.
Yes, we will.
I thought you were going to say more than that. No?
No, I'm good. All right. We got plugs, so plug it away.
All right. So Saturday night will be the NXT TakeOver review show. 10-ish. Right here, twitch.tv/WTRLive, wildtalkradio.com. Following that will be Fortnite with Friends. Following that will be CB Radio Live, midnight-ish. Scheduled to do the worst movie of all time. Hint. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio will be live 10:30-ish, 11-ish, for the Survivor Series recap. Featuring TJ Omega. Then Monday night, Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern now? Weird to say. We're back for the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving special Thursday morning, I guess we'll host it. At RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com. Make sure you follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google Play, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, all those places, the Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Omega.
So, if you want to see what I am up to, you can check me out all over the internet, usually under one name, but if you want to see me on Facebook, that is TJ Reviews. Everywhere else on the internet, you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with over 1,000 videos worth of content. And for even more videos, there is tjomega.net.
Hey, Brent.
Yeah?
Plug.
Oh. Well, you know, you can find me on my wealth of social media. That is basically just Kane Kittens on Twitter. And for anyone who's at home keeping track of that, this is day 1852.
That's obscene, dude.
The road to 2000 keeps on trucking.
Lindsay.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LINSWARD. You can talk to our very fine sponsors, or I should say you can't talk to them, but you can visit them. Gerwick.net, fightboot.com, MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. Everybody sit tight, because in just a few minutes we will be back with Fortnite with Friends. You don't want to miss it. So till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.